Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus, the name you can trust. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Doing business for about 20 years now. Always buying and selling all precious metals, all silver and gold, even weird things like platinum, palladium, rhodium, and nickel and copper and all kinds of stuff. We don't buy scrap copper. We buy it in the form of coins, buy and sell it by the bag. But we've been doing this a long time. We're good at it. We deal in rare coins. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins, collections, things like that. There's a lot of coins out there that have done well in the past, and honestly, the markets have changed, and it's a good time to just sell them. I mean, we live in what I call the Walmart generation in a lot of ways right now, and there's a supply and demand curve that has made it so only certain coins are good investments, and we do specialize in knowing that. I've been doing it for a long time, tracking it. We're very good. If you build a portfolio, we help you find those coins, and our clients do quite well. But anyway, so we are always buying and selling all forms of coins and collections. And we do, like I said, when we're building portfolios, we do well. You know, we're wealth and capital preservation specialists. We help people secure their hard assets for the long haul. As I've said, our clients do very well. They outperform the long-term trends of the markets. There's the heavy, when you watch the quote-unquote market, you know, really what you're watching a lot is the Dow, and people think they're smart or experts because they can watch the Dow. The truth of the matter is, as I've mentioned, the Dow's an artificial index. They remove and replace stocks on a daily basis, or not a daily, a regular basis. They use a weighted moving average. You're not watching the market when you're watching the Dow. The Dow is a hand-selected group of blue-chip stocks that have, you know, that have a certain track record of performance. But the problem is that they're removed and replaced. So whenever they fail or they misperform, they have the ability to remove and replace. So when you look at the Dow and you say, oh, isn't that pretty? The truth of the matter is poor performing stocks are removed and higher performing stocks are replaced. The weighted moving average is like having a big long ship going over waves of a sea. And until you get into a humongous storm, tsunami style, you're not going to even notice that. You're not going to notice the waves. So that's what a weighted moving average does for the Dow. So when you watch the Dow, now also you'll see, you know, they say rising tides, you know, raise all ships. And right now with the Trump pump, we've got the Trump dump in the metals and the Trump pump in the stock market. With the Trump pump, we are seeing a lot of stocks rise. We're seeing the Dow up. We're seeing some serious upward movement. So the question is, I'd ask you to ask yourself, do you think this is a good time to be getting into stocks or paper investments? The answer is no. You've got quite an odd barrage of activities going on in the market right now. You've got this supposedly quasi-strong dollar, which, you know, that's, it's relative to other currency indexes. So it's easy to make it look strong. The question you have to ask yourself, does my dollar buy more today than it did a year or two ago? I think you'll know quickly the answer is no. So how can my dollar be stronger? Well, folks, it is a smoke and mirrors game when they want to make it look good. And why would they want to make it look good? Janet Yellen, the Fed Reserve chairman, is a very political figure, determined to make Obama look good on his way out of office. This is going to, you know, be in conjunction with rate increases that are coming soon, in which case they're going to be putting some serious pressure on Trump. Word is, as I spoke recently, I talked, connected to an old family friend who's way, way, way up in central banking in Europe, unbelievably up. He's in his 50s, and at the age of 25, he was one of the five that restructured Trump's casino debacle. He's been around the block. He's a power hitter. And he says that the central banks are very afraid that Trump is going to overheat the economy in the U.S., and they're doing everything they can to squelch that. And as he said, they're going to be putting bullets in their gun. And what that means is by raising interest rates up, they're trying to squelch the economic growth stimulated by Trump while at the same time preparing themselves to lower interest rates when the next Democrat takes office. He tells me, and trust me, he has a very different spin on things. He is not a conservative by any means. But he tells me that he knows, they know, that that conservative capitalistic policies create economic stimuli. They know it works. But they have peppered it with negativity, anti-socialism. They've basically begun to embrace the concept of socialism as if it is the highest form of government, and anything other than that is just polluted garbage. And I'll tell you, folks, I was just speaking with a friend today that was talking about, you know, Trump, and, you know, we need a new party, a third party, and we need somebody more centristy. And, you know, it's, I guess some of that concerns me only because there are so many topics. I'm like, so which topic exactly is it that you'd like to be center left on? I mean, is it abortion? Is it marriage? Is it, you know, I just don't know. And I understand I'm all about liberty. People can do whatever they want, but it's not the government's job to legislate people's behavior, to endorse and authorize a certain behavior over another. It's the government's job to let people neutrally coexist. And when that action begins to infringe upon the rights of another, it's the government's job to step in and straighten that stuff out. But the government in general, you've got two options. Left is socialism. Right is biblical conservatism. You know, now they want to label the alt-right. You know, you get radicals that go a little bit white supremacist or whatever. You know, in general, people have a right to have those beliefs. And I don't know. They really like to pigeonhole, and they really like to get people to call others out and to, you know, basically speak out against others. And that's what they were trying to do with all the Republicans to Trump. Aren't you going to renounce this behavior? And the fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of them kowtowed down and did it. And then what happens is Trump won. And the truth is, it's not another person's responsibility to speak up for somebody else. It's a form of judgmentalism. Even if behavior is, you know, unacceptable, I guess, if we say it's just, it's terrible, repulsive or whatever, it doesn't mean that we have to comment on it. It doesn't mean, you know, there's a lot of times we can let that person live their own life. And if somebody's in our own political party and we don't agree with everything they believe, that doesn't mean we have to extricate them or kick them out or, you know, it just means that we differ. And if people have some white supremacist views, as long as they're not stepping on or infringing the rights of others, I don't know that we really have a right to be the thought police. I just don't know that we have a right to tell people what they can or cannot believe. If we don't believe, if we don't agree with them, as long as they're not stepping on our toes or causing us harm and they're not causing anybody else harm, that's okay. There's a difference between a belief and an action. And many people have beliefs, they don't follow through with action. One in particular instance is, you know, there's a lot of Muslims in the world that just don't haven't embraced jihad. I don't know if it's a way they've been educated, a lack of knowledge of the Quran, or what it is exactly. But, you know, it becomes a religious war if we go out and begin attacking people for what they believe when we live in a country that emphasizes the freedom of religion. We have to allow people to freely assimilate their thoughts and ideas in our liberty society, even if we disagree wholeheartedly. You know, in time, it may lead to action. And I think that's one thing that's starting to go on, is that they're starting to try to look for certain behaviors and certain actions to stop it before, you know, things happen. But there's a difference between having a religious belief and starting to discuss violent or acts of violence or terrorism. At that point, it's definitely over. So Coins Plus Wealth and Capital Preservation, precious metals portfolio experts. We do have the offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Northwest United States. And it's good. And we have a lot of loyal, faithful clients that have their stuff there. It's extreme levels of security. And we have a sister company called Clock Tower Jewelry. And basically what that's come down to at this point is we specialize in wholesaling diamonds. If you come in, you're not going to see much. The jewelry shop's very simple. There's not much out to look at. It's very simple. We specialize in diamonds. If you want a nice ring and a diamond in it, we can give you the best price on a diamond you're going to get anywhere, hands down, bar none. And then we're going to help you secure a ring that's going to be very good quality at extremely good price. Our markups are minute compared to the jewelry industry as a whole. Jewelry in general has a minimum. The minimum markup is 100%, 100 to 200 to 300%. I know. I've actually shared space with a very substantial jeweler for about a decade. I've been there, done that, seen it all. Our markup on the same items, for example, if we have a, if you have a ring that costs $2,000, we're, you know, most likely going to be selling that for around $1,000 if it's $1,000 elsewhere. And I'm not saying if it's $1,000 elsewhere before the sale. I'm saying if that's their best price, we're going to usually be around half or 60% of that. So that's just what we do. We don't carry a big flashy inventory. We just help people get the materials when they come in. We help them locate them, and it's quick and it's easy, and it works out very well. Coins Plus is always buying and selling all forms of scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. It's something we always do. If you've got stuff laying around, come and see us. Our phone number is 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside Spokane, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. We are located in the Clock Tower building on the Division Street Hill, Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, 3201 North Division Street. So, thanks for tuning in. Christmas is creeping upon us quickly, folks, very quickly. It's an important time of the year. Let, you know, remember what it's all about. Remember, you know, we share that belief. Most of the listeners on this station are listening because they take their faith seriously. It's important to them. There's a lot of people out there that have faith somewhere deep inside of them. They may not exactly consider it their highest priority. But if you're listening to the American Christian Network, I know that your Christianity is very important to you. And I know that as far as faith goes, you have a very strong influence on the community. So get out there and share your faith, share your love, you know, share all the goodness that Christ offers. I have all these weird notes I've been taking lately. You know, wear your blessing well. And what I mean like that is, you know, when as Christians, so many times we're ashamed. You'll meet people that, you know, they think you have to look poor and beat down and drug out to be a good Christian and super humble. God, yeah, humility is good, but God gave us joy for a reason. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. First, you know, love, joy, and then, you know, you've got self-control at the end. Self-control is a big one. But do not forget about joy. Joy to the world. That's the time of the year. So be joyous. You know, lift your spirits high. There's plenty to worry about out there, I know, but you've got to realize that we live a victorious existence, and there are much worse scenarios to be in than ours. There's so many things, you know, when I was kind of, some of the Bible readings I've been reading is, you know, like when Isaac planted seed in the drought, and then God blessed it 100 times. He, you know, he came out and he really amplified the blessings to Isaac because he stepped out in faith and he planted in the drought when there was no, you know, no one would be planting. It was foolish. It was stupid. And then he became financially blessed. And then what does it say? It says the Philistines hated him because they became jealous. So remember when God blesses you, and I think the book of Job may also show this same concept. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, was jealous of Job. He was like, Lord, look at him. Of course he's got it. You've given him such a good life. Why would he complain? Why would he have any problems at all? And God said, well, you know, basically I'll take it away and I'll show you, you know. And so they went down that whole step. And Job, you know, Job proved true and faithful. It doesn't say anything about God's disdain or disgust for Lucifer doing that or putting him in that situation, which is interesting because God is free will. God has a conscious decision. God has no one to blame but himself. When he makes a decision like that, he stands behind it. But it's still the fact that the devil questioned what God already knew. God proved it for us so that we have the story of a man who remained dearly faithful through the hardest of times. And so many people are trying to read the Bible now like it's a fairy tale. It's not. These are true stories. We don't know exactly when Job existed because he does, you know, he mentions in there's things that he says about Behemoth, Leviathan. He talks about where were you when I built the cornerstone of the world, which some say is the Great Pyramid of Giza. And there's good reason for that. I know that might not make sense at first, but there's a lot of parallels with biblical stuff in there, and it's pretty interesting, to be honest with you. I've gone over it and studied it, and everything. All major buildings in the world have a cornerstone, and the Bible or the Great Pyramid has built into it so many of the measurements of the earth that that's where the first recognition of the inch came from. And the inch is exactly 1/1 trillionth of the distance from the North Pole to the dead center of the earth. You know, it's got the number of days built into it. It's got the angle exactly to where it passes through Bethlehem off the ascending chamber. I definitely didn't intend to get into that right now, but basically we don't know when the book of Job was written. There's a lot of indication that it could have been written before the flood and may have been carried by Noah as a story moving forward. And that actually, that does make good sense in a lot of ways. But like I said, that wasn't my intention today. But the point is that God, even the devil became jealous. So when God blesses us, that can happen. In Psalms, it says the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. He wants us to do well. I'm not claiming it. God does what he wants when he wants, but I'll tell you what, if you're expecting favor from God, you got a lot higher chance of getting it than if you don't. I know you can walk around and moping and doping and feeling sorry for yourself and hope God comes in and does something incredible, but I think if you're expecting the favor of God, you're going to be a lot more likely to see it and a lot more likely to appreciate it when it comes along. You know, as far as our lifestyle out there, I think it's really important that we make a mark on this earth as employees, as whatever we do. We need to be excellent in all that we do. Whatever we do, we need to do well. God does help those who help themselves, you know, and we've got to make ourselves sort of stand out indispensably. It's not really that hard. What it is just putting others first, being kind, learning how to be sincere, helping others out. You know, even if it, you know, requires just getting somebody a glass of water or, you know, helping them when their car's out of gas or needs a tire change or whatever that may be. You know in your life what the people around you need. Especially when you're working for an employer, it's very important that you make yourself indispensable. That's how you, and as a believer, I think that that's who we need to be. You look at the, you know, like I said, the fruits of the Spirit. And then God, you know, we've got Jacob working for Rachel for 7 years. He gets tricked at the end of the 7 years because they wore a heavy veil, and it says he drank too much and woke up the next morning with Leah and Laban. Rachel's father tricked him. Laban tricked Jacob into Leah instead of Rachel. And you know Rachel was good looking because the Bible said that she was beautiful in figure and countenance or something like that. And you know when God says she's pretty, she had to be pretty. And then it said, the Bible said that Leah had weak eyes. And so Jacob had to work 7 more years. And, you know, but he never quit. He just kept driving and driving and driving. And when we stop improving ourselves, we need to constantly be focused on improving ourselves. When we stop improving ourselves, we stop growing. And then we become stagnant and unchallenged. Even in the Bible I was reading here recently, it said David played his harp skillfully. He became incredible at the slingshot. You think about it as a boy. He became so good at the slingshot that he took Goliath down. He took a giant down. Without Goliath, David would have never became king. And so I've been kind of thinking about a lot of this stuff. You know, even with Jesus, he had to have Judas to become our Savior. And so when we go through hard times and tough times, remember that that's when God performs miracles. It is not a miracle if everything goes your way all the time and you're just going up, 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 and you just keep getting elevated and elevated and elevated. I don't think that's a miracle. I think it's incredible, but I think a real miracle is when you're down and you're out and you've lost your way and life is tough and God comes and he lifts you up and he helps you dust off and he helps you redetermine your path and he, you know, he gets you renewed and restored and back on your feet. That is the God that's incredible. The God that makes victory out of victims. And, you know, and that's, we've seen, you know, there came a time for Jesus to become the Savior of the world. He had to sit there and take, you know, a long period of time, whatever it was, a couple days of absolute hell, beatings and, you know, just every maimous torture you can imagine, the way the Romans treated these guys. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And, but out of that came Jesus Christ's resurrection. I spoke recently about Lazarus being in the tomb and Mary sending for Jesus and getting angry. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Get over here. Get over here. You know, Lazarus is sick. He's dying. And it says Jesus sat down and waited. He let the bad come. He let Lazarus die. And then he showed up and Mary was angry. He's dead. There's nothing you can do now. Why did you do this to us? And then Jesus says, where is he? And then she says, in there. And then he calls him out. It's interesting. He says, where is he? Because it also shows that it makes sure that nowhere in the future would people say, well, he called out the wrong man. You know, it was Lazarus for sure. She told him, but Lazarus had to die and remain dead for 4 years for God's victory to take place. So just remember that when you're struggling, if you're putting your faith in God. You know, there's so many things. You think about the paralytic that they lifted down to Jesus. It was so full, they lifted him down through the roof. And, it, you know, people use that story a lot to say that the faith of others healed him, okay? There's truth to that. But what's really interesting is he didn't get healed right away. The paralytic gets let down, and Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven. And it says the Pharisees went up in arms. They went off. They're like, who is this guy? And it says that they were murmuring, which means talking amongst themselves extremely quietly. Well, then it says Jesus heard their murmuring. They didn't know they were with the Son of God, who has ears that might be a tad better than yours. He may have been hearing it in the spiritual realm, kind of like we have digital amplification. He had divine amplification. And he said, you know, he heard them murmuring among themselves, and then he confronted them. He said, so, you know, what are you murmuring about? He said, what's easier to say? Rise, get up and walk, you are healed, or your sins are forgiven? Well, of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. And yet the Pharisees were all up in arms, and Jesus hadn't even done a miracle. They were just all over him. And then he says to him, well, fine, get up and walk. So after he forgives his sins, to show that he is God and he's got that power, then he gets up and walks. Well, it took the Pharisees murmuring behind his back, backstabbing, gossiping, and all that. Maybe without that, the guy would have just had his sins forgiven that day. We don't know. But we do know that the pressure of the murmuring and the backstabbing and the discomfort led God to do an even greater thing. So realize when you're struggling and you're going through hard times that God will use it oftentimes to do his greatest work. I've always said our adversity defines us. Our hard times make us who we are. And that's why when you struggle, you need to embrace that. As the Bible says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you basically endure hard times and trials and tribulations, and it's too hard and you can't go on. Count it all joy. Be thankful. Be grateful. That's when God's at work in your life. And the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, comes pouring out. So I've got a lot of different material here. I could really touch on a lot of information. You know, there's in John 9 where they, you know, they asked when the child was born blind, who sinned, him, the father or the mother, you know? And Jesus said, neither. It's not a matter of somebody sinned. He says, you know, it's no one's fault. It's for the glory of God. It doesn't always have to be somebody's fault. And this is sort of the society we live in today, isn't it? Whose fault is it? Whose fault? Who's at fault? Whose liability is it? Sue them. Sue them. Sue them. This is what we do now, right? We go out and we place blame on everybody else. Things can't just happen. It's got to be somebody's fault. And that is why we are getting so extreme to the point where they've taken a lot of the equipment off of children's playgrounds. They've removed physical education class from so many of these kids' schools. They're taking it all away because of litigation. And it's, you know, there's just, to me, there's a lot of room there for improvement. And I hope of all hopes that we can get our mind wrapped around this soon and begin to restrict. We'll see what kind of an influence or effect Trump brings on the United States. It will be an interesting time, by no doubt. By all means, it's going to be an interesting time to watch. And I personally have more confidence in him than a lot do. I also, quickly before I move on, I need to touch on the specifics of Islam. I've run into some people lately that are on the, you know, in the Christian family, but for whatever reason, they don't understand the threat of Islam, and they don't know that the anti-Christian and Jew doctrines of Islam, and it's such a threat to the absolute liberty of every man, woman, and child on earth. And we are faced with one of the greatest religious threats in the history of the world. And when people start to believe that, hey, it's just a peace-loving religion, They have been absolutely deceived. There's surahs, you know, surah after surah. Oh, Allah is the only one God. Far be it from His glory that He should have a son. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth is His, and Allah is sufficient for your protector. And, it, you know, so he's eradicating Christ. Christ to them is just a prophet. He's above having a son. He doesn't need having a son. And there's, you know, you go on where it talks about all these things that they are commanded to do to others. This has such a major, interestingly enough, such a major impact on the formation of the United States. It's how our first Marine / Navy was formed. It's how we first, how what drove Jefferson to become president. You know, it's all, and you got to remember, Jefferson was a liberal by those days' standards, and yet he was ready to go to war with Islam. He was fed up, and it was the cowards of Congress that were trying to be isolationists. They didn't want to spend the money and whatnot. And he came out, and he basically ran for president and used the executive branch to go to war with them. And it was victorious. It was successful. They had just captured, the Barbary Pirates had just captured 750 of our people. They were torturing them, killing them, making them into slaves. Very bad situation. And Adams and Jefferson went to see the Pasha of Tripoli, the head of the Muslim movement, and to talk to him man to man, and they were basically lectured on the fact that they don't belong there, that Allah is God, and they are infidels, and anybody who harbors Christians or Jews is an infidel, and that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and they don't have to keep their word, they're forced to lie. It goes on and on like this. And Jefferson had had enough, and he came and ran for president. And the first thing he did when he won was to form this military leading up to the creation of our first Marine / Navy. You know, so he created the first American battleship, I believe, or the first American military ship. And he went out and he attacked the Barbary Pirates. And he basically, you know, he went out and he put them down, heavy duty. He put them down. He did some heavy things that we wouldn't even believe right now. The U.S. Congress authorized the original six frigates of the United States Navy with the Naval Act of 1794 at a total cost of $688,000. The ships were being built during the formative years of our Navy. Jefferson went, and he basically commandeered those, and he used them. Piracy against the American merchants shipping had become so bad that the Barbary states of Algiers, Tripoli, and Tunis just felt completely comfortable harassing American merchants without any penalty at all. They just were coming after us. So Jefferson had his fill of it, and he basically went out and he did some pretty heavy-duty things. He sent a very strong message, and to the Pasha of Tripoli, he said, "This is what we do now." He sent witnesses back. "This is what we do to you here on the water. If you touch our people again, we're coming to the shores of Tripoli." If you ever heard the Marine Corps song with the shores of Tripoli in it, that's exactly why, is because he told them, you know, "You leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. However, you step on our toes and we are coming to the shores of Tripoli." And that meant that they were going to come and, you know, and basically execute, you know, our battle there. So Islam has been a critical part of who we are. Something I want to talk about real quick. You're listening to Coins Plus, or True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. Wow. With Coins Plus, the sponsor, 444-0044, or toll free 877-TAP-COIN, 1-877-8-2. Wow. I'm not doing very good. 877-827-2646. I would like to kind of pop up what's going on out here politically. There's something that's facing our country that has me very concerned. I think there's a few things going on that we might not consider as serious as they are. And those are this proportional propaganda about quote-unquote fake news and this Russian hacking story, okay? Hillary came out recently and said that quote-unquote fake news has had a huge impact on us, and that's why she lost. And of course, it's always right wing, and now we've got this agenda narrative, this anti-Russia narrative. Trump said once that Putin was doing a better job of leadership than Obama. A while later, they tried to pick this up and say he's buddies with Putin, he supports the government, all this garbage. And they have taken this narrative so far. And folks, it's just like when Trump announced his candidacy for president and he said, when Mexico sends us their immigrants, they're not sending their best. They're sending us. And he said, drug dealers, rapists. Well, the left-wing spin on that now is that Donald Trump called all Mexicans rapists and whatever. No, he did not. And yet I get so frustrated with the media for not saying he didn't say that. Stop it. And correcting the quote to make it right. Okay. Well, so they've gotten that agenda through. They've gotten this agenda where they're saying, oh, Trump's big buddies with Putin and everything he does. They've made this fake agenda. What they're trying to do is fully delegitimize the election, which he won by an absolute grassroots landslide. The left-wing media can't accept it. The left-wing politicians can't accept it. The people of America aren't stupid. They're trying to act like we're just a bunch of dumb puppies that don't know what to do, that, you lay the paper out and we go to the bathroom wherever the paper is. They think that we're that dumb, that we just voted because we were told what to vote for. And people voted for Trump because they're fed up. They wanted change. They wanted something different. Trump is littered with imperfections. And yet we accepted him, not because of quote unquote fake news, which, by the way, was defined recently by the mainstream media, a large group of them that met. What is fake news? They said fake news is any news not considered conforming by the mainstream media. That's a shortened version. But basically it means anything they disagree with. That is a huge political fallout. We have a problem. We have got this narrative taking off, stripping away one of the greatest grassroots movements in the history of the United States. They're all lying to each other. They're making it acceptable to lie. They will win at any expense, no stone unturned, no holds barred, basically, at all costs. This is what we've done. Now they've lost, and they yet won't learn. I want you to understand why would that bother them so much? Don't you win some and you lose some? Well, let me tell you something you might not know. Over the last 100 and some years, the Democrats have controlled the two of the three branches of government almost 90% of the time. Think about that. They've had majority control of two of the three branches of government for like about the last 100 years or so. That it means that all the problems with our infrastructure, all the socialism, all the fascism, all this is really their doings. when something happens like this once in a blue moon where the Republicans begin to take over, oh no, bar the door. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. When the Republicans start to take over, they just go on this squeal and whine, and it was stolen from us, as if they have some kind of birthright to the seats. And the people are the birthright. And this is why, whether you want to believe it or not, they're letting illegal immigrants just pour into this country in droves, because they know that it's votes. You think, well, illegals can't vote. Oh, yes, they can. And yes, they do. And I won't get into that here, folks. All you got to do is walk into a polling station in a lot of these states that are very suspect, like the one where Michigan, when Jill Stein demanded a recount, and 2/3 of the precincts in Michigan had more votes than there were registered voters, and yet all those went to Hillary. No investigation done. So, folks, the corruption runs as deep as you can imagine. But here's what's actually going on, okay? So now they're putting out this false narrative of this Russian hacking, okay? This stuff is dangerous. It's propaganda. It's lies. We have got this cumulative effect of propaganda. We've got the Saul Alinsky model operating here in our country. And we've got to be so careful about this, because we are being infiltrated with the rules for radicals mentality, which is a severe socialist mentality. It is an internal coup through deception. There are writings all over out there where they say it is mandatory, necessary, and okay to lie, cheat, and steal to gain political control, because we have what's best for the citizen, even though the citizen does not know it. So you must, you know, like I said, the rules for radicals is in full play. We're getting the hostility. You know, power, rule number one, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Rule number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. You know, spin. You don't want to know the truth. You just want to make the other guys look bad. Rule number three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of your enemy. In other words, just make up stats, make up figures, you know, make stuff up. Try to make them look dumb. Try to just spin the plates all the time. You're not looking for compromise. You are looking for division. Obama used division as a tool, folks. He wants to act like the nicest, kindest, gentlest soul. He separated America. He put a tear in the fabric of our society that is deep, and it's down racial lines. I assure you 100%. If Obama really cared about racism and healing, he could have easily set the best example of all to show people, look, when you are black, there is no skin color. Get over it. Just let it lie, please. You know, there is no skin color. So it's important that we realize what's going on here with, you know, with the Russian hacking scheme. It's all part of this radical, and it's scary to watch, folks, because it's being executed so beautifully. And I don't say that with any pleasure whatsoever, but what I am saying is that they are good at what they do. We are being conquered and captured by some of the best. Now, Trump ran a phenomenal campaign. Everything should have knocked him down and out. Even by the end, during the exit polls, they were saying he was being slaughtered, 6-10%. And yet he won by, what, 6-7%. I mean, if you go electoral count and all this spinning about popular vote, folks, it just won't quit. They won't give it up. This college system is electors. That is how we elect. It's the way it was designed. To say if the rules were different, man, would I have done great. No, you wouldn't, because they would have campaigned differently. I really believe they did a good job campaigning. Phenomenal. So let's talk about the Russian hacking. These are the true facts, okay? There is no new information leading the CIA to that conclusion. Do you realize that, okay? The CIA's conclusion does not appear to be the product of any new intelligence obtained since the election. This is from the New York Times, left-wing liberal. Several American officials, including someone who had read the agency's briefing, said on Sunday, rather, it was an analysis of what many believe is overwhelming circumstantial evidence that others feel does not support firm judgments. And it goes on that the Russians put a thumb on the scale for Mr. Trump and got their desired outcome. In other words, someone only decided after Trump won that the accusation was worth making. Folks, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. You basically have a bunch of people out making accusations, and then you get someone else looking on the internet and go, well, look, where there's smoke, there's fire. These accusations are all over the place. There is no evidence of any of this. None of it. They're trying to delegitimize his win. The evidence that the CIA has gathered is absolutely inconclusive. The FBI also disagrees with the supposed CIA conclusion that there was tampering. The problem is they were going round and round a week ago that no one from the CIA officially said they saw this. There was a Senate leak that supposedly came from a top secret confidential meeting from some left-wing senator. I believe it was probably Harry Reid. I don't know. He may be out. I don't know. But that this was the case. It's all based on a leak to the press. No facts, no evidence. The CIA is not making any public claims that Russia hacked the election. You are not hearing this from the CIA. You're not hearing this from the FBI. You're not hearing it from Obama. Obama's even come out and said, no, there's nothing there. But folks, why are they doing it? Because Hillary has no shame. Hillary shamed, and I mean shamed. She said it was horrific that Donald Trump said that he would wait to see the results of the election before he'd agree to accept it. She swore how horrifically terrible it was, that it just undermined our democracy at its base, that somebody would not accept the results of an election, and on and on and on she went. Well, now, guess what? The tables are turned, and she's the worst. This is the hypocrisy that we've grown to become so accustomed to. And the real problem, again, folks, this is becoming left versus right, red versus blue. This is becoming the Super Bowl all the time. If people are on one side of the fence, they stick together like glue. They don't even have common sense anymore. Nobody's party affiliation is based on common sense. It's based on tribalism. They just want to belong, and they'll do everything to belong. And when someone wins, they say, no, that's not, you know, it wasn't fair, it wasn't legit. We've got, you know, this whole fake news garbage. So the new left-wing distorted, what do you call it, propaganda again, claiming fake news. There's no evidence that Russian hackers distorted anything in the voting process. And I'm basically going down the facts here. The most that the CIA has alleged is that the Russians may have helped hack the Democratic National Committee emails, and as well as those of John Podesta. Well, here's the facts. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks says clearly, resoundingly, absolutely, none of the WikiLeaks emails came from anything to do with Russia. Crystal clear. You had that on Hannity. Absolutely crystal clear. Folks, this is not true. You might think, why does this matter? Because they can actually change. They're trying, when they start to come up with false narratives like this, they're trying to delegitimize this presidency. If they get this stuff ingrained deep enough, they may be able to abuse. On Monday, the Electoral College goes to vote, and they actually have the gall to try to undermine our electoral system. And they're telling him, you know, look at what a terrible person Trump is. They're telling him to completely ignore the will of their own people. They're saying, you know better than the people that elected you to place the vote for them. These are scary, scary situations. This is not good. They need to accept his presidency. The left first stepped out and accepted it, and then they're coming back, and they're going after him more and more and more. So, I don't know, folks. The Obama administration has a history of manipulating intelligence for political gain. This has been going on and on. It's the most underreported scandal of Obama's presidency was the CENTCOM scandal, which in which it emerged that senior U.S. Central Command leaders manipulated intelligence assessments of 2014 and 15 to make it appear that President Barack Obama was winning the war against ISIS or ISIL. There's even more reason to doubt the truth of a selective leak about the election. I mean, he had these guys. Where he gets them, I don't know. But he's able to spin all this stuff to make himself look good. No one's done this before. This is new grounds. This is a new barrier of immorality. It reminds me of my years in banking. I used to say the number one regulation that protects banks is people's morality. Once in a while, you'd get someone that struggled with morality, and they would take advantage of the bank, and they could get away with a fair amount of money. Well, we've got a president who's done that, and he's become the greatest schmoozer, and he believes that he's entitled, that he's special. He believes that he's divinely inspired, and you know, and he's done some unbelievable stuff. And as I said earlier, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have vigorously denied that Russians had any involvement in any of their disclosures. There is no leaking, although the left continues to purport this, and I just don't understand why the right isn't resoundingly refuting it. And the fact that Russians might, you know, of course there's somebody from Russia that is going to constantly be trying to hack different systems, including U.S. systems, and they may even have targeted a computer at one time that had something to do with the election. That has no proof that they succeeded, and it has no proof that it's an orchestrated conspiracy. Russia's a big country. There's a lot of tech-savvy people. And I'm not going to argue with the fact that it's very likely, very possible that they've got hackers that are shooting at the U.S. system all the time. But like I said, there's no evidence that they've ever penetrated. Foreign interference in elections is nothing new, and the Obama administration is the prime culprit. The Obama administration took a full run, well-hidden effort to swing the Israeli elections toward opposition and away from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The State Department gave over $300,000 to a pro-peace Israeli group, which then paid political activists whose single goal was to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu. If you go clear back to 1984, when the late Senator Ted Kennedy was around, he asked for Soviet help. Russian efforts to intervene would be bad, but not unique either for Russia, for the U.S. So, you know, Ted Kennedy asked specifically for Soviets to help affect an election. So the consequences of allowing undue Russian influence in our elections, I mean, what would that be anyway? I mean, what effect would it have? I mean, what, you know, it would, you know, we don't even know. I mean, basically, if it really did happen and they affected who got elected, I mean, we're still electing American officials, so it's not like, you know, they're going to benefit unless somebody's handing them money over. But I guarantee you, for corruption, look to Hillary Clinton long before Trump. I mean, Trump's very self-sufficient, very man-made. He's done everything he can to distance himself from the presidency as a private individual. And then Occam's razor, which is how you kind of look at crimes for resolution. They always, the Occam's razor says the simplest explanation for any crime is the most obvious. And so the simplest explanation for Russian hacking story is that it's fake news because it suits the left-wing media the best. And that's really what it is. It's fake news. Don't tolerate it. Don't listen to it. Be aware of it. Be prepared. I really wish they'd give Obama or give Trump a chance. I believe people did give Obama a chance. I think he became radically ideological. He told everybody else to pound sand. He felt entitled. He felt he had a mandate. He didn't care what the percentage was, and he literally went nuts. And he did a lot of heavy-duty socialist activity. It's time now for the pendulum to swing the other way hardcore. We've got a guy who's going to try to balance out trade. He met with all the tech giants 2 days ago and told them, you're going to bring jobs back to America, or I'm going to tax you with 35% on imports. And a friend of mine said he can't do that. And I'm like, the heck he can't. That's one of the 9 responsibilities of the federal government is import and excise tax to control and regulate business and fair trade. And so prepare yourself. I mean, he can do a lot of this stuff, and I hope he does. The long-term prognosis, we don't know, but we're sure ready to try something new, aren't we? And folks, we've got the Trump dump. I really didn't get into it. I've talked about it. It's a beautiful time, and I mean that sincerely. If you've got a 401k or IRA, please call us. This is the time. Get set up now. Beginning of the year, we can roll over and roll out. This is beautiful, beautiful timing. All it takes is a phone call to Coins Plus 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com, where we have all of our previously recorded radio shows. We can help you roll that over or roll it out so you can hold the metals in your hands, get away from the cyber system. We're good at it. We've been doing it a long time, and we'll make it work for you. The pricing is immense right now. You can cash out of paper, cash into metals. It's never been a better time as far as the spreads on the two. So thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a beautiful weekend, and praise God. And bye-bye. Thank you again.